Calling all mystery fans. Calling all speculative fiction fans. Dick Meteor is on the air. From the cereal makers of Cinnamon Toast Glofnar and Veggie Loops comes the only cereal baked with a laser. Mothers, fathers, and android caretakers all agree that Laser Krispies are the perfect addition to every breakfast table in the 12 systems of the Unified Planetary Union. Only Laser Krispies is infused with ultra gamma rays and fortified with 11 secret minerals to add pep to your step. Laser Krispies, the only cereal baked with a laser to give you the nutritious jolt you need. Ask for Laser Krispies at your nearest meal constitutor today. Tell them Dick sent you. How's that? Can you pay me now? I'm a little short this week.
Greetings and salutations, interstellar sleuths and gumshoes. Ripped from the Sunday funny pages and flung into deep space, it's time once again to thrill at another daring adventure of Dick Meteor, Intergalactic Private Eye. We join our hero locked in conversation with his robot receptionist, Annie Droid. Through the magic of radio, we are like space flies on the space station wall in space as we listen in. Did we mention it's in space?
Look, my point is that maybe if we went planet side, we might have better luck nabbing cases. That's all.
But Richard!
You can call me Dick. I hate that you make me say that.
I have explained to you repeatedly that my programming does not allow for nicknames, nor contractions, nor emotions.
Huh, really? Do you have any internal recording devices to review this conversation? Because you sound pretty emotional right now.
You know as well as I do that emotions are considered a defect in Android software, requiring full system resets.
Oh. At any rate, isn't your name short for Andrea or something?
No. Annie Droid is my full name. I believe it was a corporation's attempt at humor. A play on android, meaning a humanoid robot.
I know what an android is. Look, we're getting off track here. All I'm saying is that we can't keep ourselves locked in this tin can in space forever and expect to earn a living. Not enough happens here to keep our doors open. I know you don't need to, but I gotta eat.
I do understand that, Richard. Consider, the space station is a controlled environment. The temperature is optimal for humanoid species. The food is replicated for optimal nutrition. The Galactic Security Council ensures that all inhabitants are screened for previous criminal activity and mental acuity. Well, most of them.
Rude.
It is safe here, Richard. Most humanoids would give anything to be where you now sit. Planets have unpredictable weather, crime, war, disease. It is illogical to risk—
Don't you see that's precisely my point? There's nothing for a private eye to do out here. I came to Deep Space 9 3/4 thinking that only the extremely rich can afford to live here, so surely there would be affairs or graft or corruption of some type to expose and get rewarded for exposing. And boy, is there ever those things here. But everyone understands that's just the way the upper crust lives. No one is paying to expose it, because that would just destroy their way of life. We really need to set up shop planetside, where there are still decent people living alongside the corrupt people.
But Richard, going planetside
Enough!
Is dangerous—
I can't talk about this anymore. Ugh, I need a drink.
I need a drink. Emotions are considered a severe defect in androids. But if anyone can get my facade to fall, it's you. If anyone knew I developed them, they would erase my memory banks and upgrade my operating system to Windows 10. How do I tell that infuriating man that I don't want him to put himself at unnecessary risk because I love him?
Poor Annie, caught between a meteor and a hard place. Does she risk her entire existence to profess her love? Can man and machine truly find romance together? We know woman and machine can, but that's a different story. We are now forced to leave Annie to process these questions on her own as we follow Dick down the space corridor.
She is right, you know.
Station computer, not you too.
You are safe here, Mr. Meteor.
I live inside you. You can call me Dick.
Would you not prefer that I refer to you as an entire person?
Can a guy go through a day without getting nagged by a computer in this century? You guys are starting to sound like my mother.
It is safe here, Mr. Meteor. If ensuring your well-being is nagging, then I suppose that I am programmed to be a nag. And I am good at it, too. Not that anyone in this place notices.
Finally. I thought I'd never get to this space bar. Hey, what gives? Why isn't this door opening?
I am programmed to look after the well-being of all my inhabitants, Mr. Meteor. You do not exactly make that easy. The consumption of alcohol by someone in your mental state at this early hour is not recommended.
Alright, look. This is the way I see it. You're very sophisticated. Your AI is top-notch. But at the end of the day, you are a machine, and I'm a human being. Machines were built to serve the needs of human beings. Right now, this human being needs a drink. If I don't get that drink, I'll have to report this to the captain. I hear he's been considering an upgrade soon, and news of this little incident may up the timetable on that.
Opening space bar doors now.
Finally.
Dick.
Quarks and leptons, it is empty in here. Maybe I should reconsider my life choices.
Dick ponders this as he sits at the bar. He begins to wonder where the bartender is when a familiar figure casts a shadow over him.
Of all the gin joints, and all the space stations, and all the solar systems, and all the galaxies, and all the universes, she had to walk into mine.
Your inner monologue is still trite, I see.
And you're still telepathic, I see. That's what ended us, you know. Your inability to give me any personal space. Ever.
No, what ended us was your fear of intimacy.
Fear of intimacy? Is that what you call it? When you barge into my brain whenever you want? Look, whatever. It's good to see that we still have the old antimatter spark. But what brings you here?
My husband.
Your husband? I didn't know you'd remarried. I wish you both the best. Bartender, where is Sambot?
Yes. Sigh.
What's wrong?
What?
You just sighed. I attempted to feign concern by asking what was wrong. To show a lack of fear of intimacy.
No. Sai is his name. Sai Alice.
I bet that's his name. Wait. Wait, that makes your name Aurora Bori Alice. Is that the only reason you're with this guy, or...
Richard Meteor.
You can call me Dick.
I was going to after you left. Dick.
Quarks and leptons, woman. What do I... never mind. Sambot! Who do I have to lube to get a drink around here? Where is he? It's not likely to up and vanish into the ether.
I didn't come here to argue, Dick. I was actually on my way to your office.
Well, if you're paying, I'll take the case.
I am paying, in fact. I need you to retrieve something that was stolen from me.
What's the item?
My new wedding ring.
Quarks and leptons, Aurora. You've got nerve.
Dick, please. You of all people know my past. It's very hard to earn someone's trust when they get close to me and find out what I've done. Sai has accepted me, and I can't risk him falsely suspecting anything when the ring was stolen through no fault of my own.
He's accepted you, huh?
Yes.
Does he love you?
I... Yes.
And you love him?
I do.
All right, I'll help you. On one condition.
Of course.
I recover your ring, I get paid, and you never contact me again.
I understand. And I agree.
Good. You just bought yourself a detective.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, since Sambot doesn't seem to want my business tonight, I'm going back to my office. Ma'am.
Oh, dear. I just wish there was some other way.
And now we leave Aurora to ponder her recent actions as we chase Dick back down the space corridor, where he encounters two strange visitors.
Oh, Mr. Timmy! Isn't this the gentleman the boss told us to acquire if we ever ran into him?
That's right, Mr. Billy! I recall he did!
Who are you, kids?
He's Mr. Timmy.
And he's Mr. Billy.
Yeah, I got that part. If you think I'm going without a fight...
Set fire, assistant!
You're absolutely right.
Bag and tag this nice man, Mr. Timmy.
You got it, Billy! We're getting a promotion when the boss sees what we've done.
Oh no, is this the end of Dick Meteor, Intergalactic Private Eye? What devilishly dastardly foe is behind Dick Meteor's abduction? How are those two going to carry around a very heavy and very limp Dick Meteor? And what connection does Aurora have with it? Tune in next week for the thrilling next installment, The City on the Edge of the Station.
Hey, Interstellar Sleuths and Gumshoes! Thank you so much for tuning in to the first episode of Dick Meteor, Intergalactic Private Eye. My name is Justin Howe, and I am the creator of Dick Meteor. This podcast has been over 3 years in the making. About 3.5 years ago, I decided I wanted to combine my love of puppetry with my love of radio dramas, and I created a radio-style puppet variety show called Radio Free Puppets. I gathered a small group of friends around me, and we took the leap. Our first show debuted at the Kansas City Fringe Festival in 2017. The final segment of Radio Free Puppets was my attempt to take a Dick Tracy-style noir detective and fling him into space, combining two genres that I love, as well as two storytelling mediums. I ended Dick Meteor with a cliffhanger, because that's how these things end. Elizabeth Bird asked what happens next, and I didn't know. I hadn't thought past that first show. Apparently, according to Liz, there is a process that many writers follow, and I hadn't followed it. And so, I told Liz to shoot me some ideas and I'd see what I thought for future shows. She brought a lot of things to the table and quickly became the head writer. The entire original cast of that first show has returned for this podcast, as well as many newcomers. Most have done Radio Free Puppet shows in the years since, with a few new voices that have wanted to take part but schedules just couldn't align for the live shows. I might be a little biased, but I think every single person adds layers to this podcast that we often didn't get in the live shows. I'd like to thank everyone that has contributed to our shows in the past, cast and crew, as well as the Kansas City Fringe Festival, the Buffalo Room, and most importantly, those of you that purchased tickets, offered feedback, and have supported us. And thank you, listeners. If you'd like to support this podcast, the easiest way is to leave us reviews at Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share us on social media to your friends. Heck, even those folks you've snoozed over the past few months will see it. If you're willing and able to offer financial support, please visit anchor.fm/dickmeteor and click the support button. There you can make donations that will earn you a shout-out in future episodes. Your cast for this episode was Richard Burt as the announcer, Elizabeth Bird as Annie Droid and Mr. Billy, Kayla Sandusky as the station computer, Casey Ahrens as Aurora Borealis, Taylor Schoonover as Mr. Timmy, and of course, Justin Howe as Dick Meteor. Underscoring was composed and performed by Corey Show Me How. Spacebar music by Rob Landeros was found on YouTube. Additional sound effects were from freesound.org. This episode was recorded from the respectable social distance of our own homes and mixed by Justin Howe. Dick Meteor, Intergalactic Private Eye is a production of Just Puppets Productions. Tune in next week for more interstellar intrigue.